So before I get to the word this morning, I do want to let you know, every year I talk about this. I'm just going to mention it really briefly. I have this, which is back by Tony. A lot of times people ask questions about, it doesn't make sense to us sometimes the way it's taught, because we know that Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. And when you look at it, we have a hard time because we consider Friday the day that he went into the tomb. And it gets very confusing for people. If you just read the word and you let the word explain the word, this is what I always tell people. If you're confused about something, read the word. The word will always explain the word. And it really, the word does tell us, it has to do with the Sabbath and how it mentions the Sabbath. When you understand how all the events took place, it's very clear how Jesus was, just as the word said, 3 days in the tomb. So I have those back there. It's actually, I've condensed down, anybody know who David Reagan is? David Reagan is a man who does a lot with end times. And it's an article that I read about that he wrote a number of years ago, which is the best explanation I've ever heard of. Anyway, if you want answers to that, there's some sheets back there that share that. Let's get ready for the word this morning as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday this morning. Jesus, we do praise you. We thank you for that day. Thank you that you, out of your love, did willingly lay down your life for us. You saw each one of us when you were there on the cross. You saw us with your great love, and you made that sacrifice so that we could have new life in you. We rejoice and we praise you, Jesus. You be glorified. Amen. So I want to start by looking at these verses. This is Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. I love all of those verses, but this morning, I really love that last verse. "And they remembered his words." That's our goal. Our goal is to remember his words. Remember his words in our life so that we can apply his words and we can live his words. Jesus rose again, and because Jesus rose again, the Holy Spirit has come. And because the Holy Spirit has come, now we can know the word of God with understanding. And because the Holy Spirit has come, we can remember his word so we can apply it and we can live it and we can live it with power. Everything about life, everything about today, everything about this earth, everything centers on the fact that Jesus rose again. There was a price to pay for sin. That price is death. That's what each one of us deserved, but that's not what we get, because he paid the price for us. Great verse. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but we have the gift of Jesus Christ. We have the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Every day, you know, when you think about the reality of that, every day we just kind of casually go through life, living in the benefits, living in the blessings that are a result of that gift. We shouldn't be so casual about it. No one understands what it is that we've been given. Our minds can't even begin to imagine the darkness that was in this world before the light of Jesus came. And I think if we were able to go back in time and be in this world before Jesus came, we'd be shocked. We'd be surprised at the spiritual oppressive darkness that was there. We take for granted the light of Jesus. And the world takes it for granted. You know, even the world today who deny Christ, even the world benefits because the light, the love, the presence of Jesus has come into this world. And in no small part, that light, love, and presence is represented through you and I. Jesus died. He gave his life, taking the punishment for the sins of all. And then he rose again in resurrection power, defeating Satan. And as he rose again, for each one of us, for all who would receive him, for all who would believe, for all who would believe that sacrifice and receive his sacrifice on our behalf, for them, for you and I, it's freedom from the curse of sin and death. This is what we get in Jesus Christ. It's what he's given to us. We are, never forget that we are the living examples of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And so the world should see his presence through you and me. They should see his presence. So this morning we celebrate the fact that in his love, Jesus, that love led him to the cross. And as we commemorate that resurrection power and the victories that he won, remember, the world is out there, is still blind to that love. The world needs to hear our robust and unhindered praise for the name of Jesus. The world needs to hear that. Not just collectively, thank you that we do that collectively, but individually, the world needs to hear. Today, tomorrow, the world needs to hear your praise, my praise, lifting up and exalting Jesus. That means sharing the things that you have received in Jesus Christ, sharing the joys of your heart. Listen, if it means breaking out into song, do that. I love the fact that last week, I love those spiritual songs. Diane last week spoke that, sung that spiritual song. I'm not a singer, but there's been some rare occasions in my life when I'm just in the flow of the Holy Spirit where songs just come. Now, I just sang them to myself here in this place, but you know there's power even when you do that. The world is out there that needs to hear your praise and my praise to Jesus Christ. Another verse I want to share with you. This is from, there's so many verses we could look at this morning because they all pertain to what we're celebrating today. But let me share this with you from the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 98. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He's remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. This is what we should be doing. Listen, celebrate the eternal life, the gift of eternal life that is yours. Celebrate it and celebrate all of the promises that come with that eternal life. Celebrate it. Praise him. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. We still have another responsibility. Look at this from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." This is such an important part of the whole message of the resurrection. He died for us that we would live for him. Our role is to live for him. If my heart is truly aligned with the heart of Jesus Christ, then my praises for him, for everything that I've received, that's not the end of the matter. Because I no longer live for self. Knowing that he has shed his blood for all sin, I know that my response, I know that I need to be his witness to the world. I need to share the truth of Jesus Christ with the world that is blinded. But he died for their sins as well. It does them no good until they recognize and accept his sacrifice. We need, not living for self. This is part of Resurrection Sunday. It's our responsibility. If I am truly thankful for the things that Jesus Christ has done for me, if I'm truly thankful for everything that I have received, if I'm truly thankful, I will share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. So if we're staying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just go down three verses. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. We have been brought into harmony with Father God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is awesome. We praise him for that. But listen, that verse also says that we, you and I, we've been assigned the ministry of bringing others into that same harmony with the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is the ministry that is assigned to us. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love that you demonstrated to us. But this is part of what the resurrection is. We no longer live to ourselves. We're assigned the ministry of bringing others into the harmony of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. Thank you for your resurrection. Praise him, but don't stop there. Share with others the redemptive work of Jesus Christ that you enjoy and that you've experienced. Share it. Now, if you were here last week, you might remember that we were talking about Jesus and celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we ended that message by seeing Jesus and what Jesus did once he entered into Jerusalem. And do you remember what we saw? It says that Jesus, he looked around, he saw the hour was late, and he took his disciples, and with his disciples, he went back to Bethany. Now, our conclusion out of that was, the hour is late in this church age that we live in. The hour is late. We need to be sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with those around us that don't know him. We also saw last week, and this is awesome, why was it significant that Jesus took his disciples back to Bethany? Every word that is in there is important. It's imperative. Why does the Bible take the time to make sure that we know he went back to Bethany? Well, in part, it's because Bethany, what it means and what it represents. We saw last week the name Bethany actually means house of unripe fruit. We today live in the age of Bethany. Look outside. Look in your lives. There are people out there who are not ready for the harvest. There's unripe fruit out there. They're not ready for the harvest. And yet the harvest is coming, whether they're ready or not. Our kingdom role, your kingdom role, my kingdom role, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but understand that part of what our role is, because of that resurrection experience, because of what we have received, because of the eternal life that we have and the gifts, part of our responsibility is to take that truth to others. We are to share that truth. We're to take that message. This is not something we're supposed to take lightly. In fact, it's interesting because you can see that God prophetically speaks about these very things. He speaks prophetically about it all through, but there's one classic example of him speaking about this specific thing prophetically as far back as Amos. 750 years before Jesus was even born. Listen to these. I'm going to show you Amos chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And listen to the familiarity of the images that we're talking about as Amos speaks about the ripeness of fruit. Now, we live in the days of Bethany where there's unripe fruit. But here Amos is speaking about the ripeness of fruit as well. Stay with me. So this is Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. Thus the Lord God showed to me, and behold, a basket of ripe fruit, therefore soon to perish, summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by and spare them anymore. Amos is speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel. He's speaking about Israel, whom God is comparing to a basket of ripe fruit. Ripe here means ready to turn. Ripe in the sense that it is ready to perish. God is saying to the nation of Israel, I am no longer going to withhold that judgment. Judgment is coming. And truthfully, within about 30 years of Amos speaking these words, the nation of Israel was taken into captivity. It fell to the Assyrians in judgment. That's what Amos was speaking to the people at that moment. And it was true for that moment. But God was also speaking prophetically through Amos, and he was speaking about the coming of Messiah. And he was speaking about the judgment of sin that would be poured out upon Messiah. He's speaking about Jesus who would pay the price and take the punishment for the sins of all people. Look just a few verses later. Amos chapter 8, drop down and look at verses 8 and 9. This is marvelous. Shall the land not tremble for this? He's speaking about these things that are coming to Israel, but prophetically, he's speaking about what's taking place today. Shall the land not tremble? And he's speaking about Jesus Christ in the very day that we're worshiping and praising him for today. He's speaking about the day of the resurrection. Shall the land not tremble for this? And everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like a river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. He's talking about an earthquake that is taking place that's going to have monumental changes. And it shall come to pass that in that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. This is speaking about the day of God's judgment that is poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. So Amos is speaking to the people and saying judgment is coming, but God is also speaking prophetically, speaking about the unripe fruit. He was speaking about the ripe fruit that's there, but he's also speaking about the unripe fruit because he's talking about the day when God's judgment is coming. And we can read, when you look at the Gospels, everything we just read in that verse, you can see those things. When we read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and resurrection, you read those things. Those very things that were spelled out take place. Look at this. In Amos chapter 8, verse number 8, it says, and everyone mourns who dwells in it. All right, look at Luke chapter 23, verse number 48, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And the whole crowd who came together to that site, they're seeing Jesus on the cross. The whole crowd who came together in that site, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. That is verbiage that is talking about hearts that are mourning. If you look this up, there's different books you can go. There are certain phrases that are used in cultures. And culturally, someone to beat their breast like that is a sign of mourning. It is exactly what God said was going to be taking place on the day that his judgment was poured out on man. And it's exactly what took place. It says that the earth trembled. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse number 54. Again, this is the crucifixion of Jesus. So when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. They saw and they experienced an earthquake, and we don't even know what else they saw. We know some of the things they saw. And it made them say, this is truly the Son of God. We also saw in Amos that God prophetically said that he would make the sun dark at the noon hour. Still in Matthew chapter 27, let's go back 9 verses. Now from the 6th hour, noon, there was darkness over all of the land until the 9th hour, 3 o'clock. So you can see that when God was speaking through Amos prophetically, he was speaking to the nation of Israel, but he was also speaking. He was talking about fruit. He was talking about the ripe fruit, but he's also talking about the fruit of today. Now we know that the fruit of today, this is called fruit that is unripe. And that's important to understand, and you're going to see why. This is just so beautiful how God pours all this together. Amos was speaking prophetically about the judgment that was coming to the nation of Israel in their time. But God is speaking through the prophet Amos, and God is speaking about the day when his judgment and his wrath would be poured out on his son, would be poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus on the cross in your place and in my place. Today, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to Bethany. We're the ambassadors to the house of unripe fruit. In Amos's day, the fruit was very specific. The fruit was ripe to perish. It's because the people would not hear. They would not listen and hear the word of God through the prophets. And so they perished. But today, we live in an age of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. That world is living in an age of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. We live in this age of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. There is a lot of unripe fruit that's out there. There's a lot of fruit that's not yet ready for the harvest, but they're not ripe to perish because we live in a different age. They are ripe for salvation. They just need to hear the word of God from an ambassador from Christ to Bethany. The hour is late. We need to be aware, conscious of the unripe fruit, the fruit that is ready for salvation, ripe for salvation, to make sure that they are ready for the harvest, because the hour is late and the harvest is coming. As believers in Jesus Christ, we understand that because of sin, we needed a Savior. And we also understand that Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice lamb for us. But we also all need to remember that we're not supposed to keep that gift of salvation secretly in here. We're told that we're supposed to occupy in this world until he comes. That means we're supposed to share the good news of Jesus Christ until he comes. Remember the parable that Jesus gave us in Luke? The parable of that nobleman who was going off to a far country to receive his kingdom and then return? That's how Jesus described it. That's from Luke chapter 19. I just want you to see one verse from that. If you remember that verse, the nobleman left to that kingdom to receive his kingdom. He left to a far country to receive his kingdom. And he left minas. He left things with his servants. And when he returned, he looked to see what his servants had done, how they had traded, how they had exchanged, what they had done with that which he had left for him. So in Luke chapter 19, lost my place, verse number 13, and he called his 10 servants, and he delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. The Greek word for occupy, it actually means to trade something. It means to exchange something. It means to exchange something for gain. It means to exchange and trade something for gain and to bear fruit. We are supposed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the world can exchange death for life. We are supposed to be taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. We're supposed to occupy until he comes. This is how we occupy in this world until he comes. We exchange the good news of Jesus Christ. We exchange that, and we then gain fruit. We bear fruit for Jesus Christ. It's what we're called to do. Now, we need to be active. We need to be active in this exchanging, in this trading. We need to be active in our occupying, because you better understand that there's an enemy to the Word of God and there's an enemy to Jesus who is very active in his trading and his exchanging of his lies and his deceits, which he propagates to keep people bound up in captivity. Now, Ezekiel talks to us about this, and the great thing is, when Ezekiel talks about that very image of what Satan is doing, he uses the exact same verbiage. But he also, in that verbiage, gives us a timely revelation of the resurrection power that is in you and I as you and I occupy for Jesus. Is this all making sense? So this is what it says in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 16. By the abundance of your trading, he's talking about Satan. And look, he's using that same word, trading, occupying, which we're told to do. We're told to occupy until he returns, until he comes. Occupy means exchanging, trading. Now, here we see Ezekiel prophetically talking about Satan, specifically about Satan. He's talking about the king of Tyre, but clearly he's talking about Satan as well when you read those verses. By the darkness of your trading, speaking about Satan, all the way back to the garden, by the darkness of your trading, your exchanging, you became filled with the violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Because Satan was trading, because Satan has been from the beginning trading and exchanging in evil, He's been cast out of the mountain of God. He no longer dwells amidst the fiery stones. The fiery stones is a reference, it's a beautiful reference, a beautiful image, talking about being in the presence of God in heaven. But here's the great thing about fiery stones. Fiery stones symbolically also reflects, again, the resurrection power that is yours and mine in Jesus Christ as we occupy until he comes. Now, Jesus has already defeated Satan. That's been done. That's what we're celebrating. This is the resurrection. That's what we're celebrating. Satan has been defeated by Jesus. But who is it that enforces Satan's defeat in all the things that pertain to this life? Who enforces it? Yes, it's you and I who are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ to this world. We're the ones that enforce it as we operate in his power and as we operate in his authority. This is what we're called to be. Last week we talked about living stones. In fact, many times in the past I've talked about living stones. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, says that you and I, we are living stones. Again, can you see all this imagery ties together? You and I are living stones. You are a living stone for Jesus. You're a living stone that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit who came by fire. You are truly a fiery living stone for Jesus. And you're expected, you and I, we're expected to enforce the enemy's defeat. We have that power. We have that authority. This is good news. This is happy. This is good. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. And this is what we should be reminded of as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for every great thing. That I have eternal life. You have eternal life. And all the promises that come with it. Thank you, Jesus. But I can't stop there. I've got to be willing to take that to others. You and I, as his fiery living stones. Satan no longer walks amidst the fiery living stones because he knows we have the power and the authority. He doesn't want you to remember it and you to think about it, but he knows we can enforce and should be enforcing his defeat. Now, last week, if you remember, we also talked about, in looking at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we also talked about that moment when Jesus entered in through the gates. If you remember last week, we went all the way through. You could see just the significance of every point coming down from the Mount of Olives, going across the Kidron Valley, making that ascent up to Jerusalem, passing through the gates. We saw the significance of all that. And when we saw that when Jesus passed through the gates of Jerusalem, we saw that that was fulfilling a powerful prophecy that Isaiah had made. Isaiah had foreseen. With excitement, he did. Isaiah foresaw that moment of Jesus entering in through those gates. And here's what Isaiah said. And again, picture Isaiah being like a fan watching a sporting event. You can hear in these words the palpable excitement that Isaiah had as he sees Jesus fulfilling this which God has shown Isaiah is going to happen. He could see Jesus doing this. And he says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Jesus, go through, do your work, prepare the way for your people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones, remember that. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Jesus has gone through the gates. He's gone through the gates so that all the people who will follow him, all the people who will accept his sacrifice and receive him, all the people can enter into his kingdom. Jesus has cleared the pathway of salvation through him. But you and I, we are the fiery, living stones, operating in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who, in the authority of Jesus, need to remove those stones of deceit, all of those impediments and all of those things that Satan is laying in the pathway of the people that you care about who don't know Jesus Christ. And every one of those stones that Satan is putting there, you and I, we have the power and authority. You're the fiery living stones. Take those stones out of the pathway. He's already made the path clear. We're the ones who enforce it. We're the ones who bring it about and make sure that it happens in the lives of those that you care about. Who are you praying for salvation? Whom are you praying for salvation? Do you ever get frustrated because it feels like I'm praying, but they're not getting any closer to Jesus Christ? Listen, who are you praying for? You are the fiery, living stones of Jesus. So in the authority of Jesus' name, remove every one of those impediments, every lie, every deceit. Remove those stones, all the stones that Satan is using to blind the hearts and the eyes of those people that you're praying for. He's already done the work. We enforce it. Sometimes I think we feel like because we pray, nothing's happening, and we get frustrated. There's two parts to this. They need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the Word from the ambassadors. Couldn't think of the word. From the ambassadors to Bethany, that's you and I. They need to hear the Word of God. You present the Word. But also, we need to do the work preparatory and even afterwards and clear those stones out of the way. Every lie, every deceit, every impediment that is blinding them. You have the authority to do that. It's the work that is before us. You know, if you go back to what we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus, just go back to that imagery. When Jesus was buried in the tomb and before he was resurrected, if you remember, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to Pilate and they said to Pilate, secure the tomb. Because they remembered that Jesus said in 3 days he would rise. They said, secure the tomb. Now listen to Pilate's response. This is Matthew 27, 65 and 66. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they used all the resources and all the power of the world that they had to secure that tomb, and they secured it. But nothing they could do could stop the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. But now let's take that to the next step. Nothing Satan can do can secure the hearts of the people you're praying for in the authority of Jesus Christ. Nothing Satan can do can secure those hearts. Satan can do nothing to secure their hearts that you're praying for against the power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ. And if you want to see an example of that, just look at the example we see from Jesus. They set those guards to secure the tomb. They set the guards there to make sure that that tomb was secure. That's our example. Look what happened to those guards. Matthew 28, verse number 4. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him, speaking about an angel, they were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and they trembled and they became like dead men. In other words, they were powerless. They could do absolutely nothing. You have the Word of God. You have the authority in Jesus' name. The work's already been done. It's just up to us to enforce it. You have the authority of Jesus' name. Speak His Word and speak against all of those impediments that are before the people you're praying for and watch what happens. Because every one of Satan's guards that he has put against those hearts, he's tried to secure the hearts of the people you're praying for. He's tried to secure it against the Word of God. But when we give the Word of God and we pray in the power and authority that we have in Jesus Christ, those guards are powerless. Satan's guards are weak, powerless, and they can do nothing. They can do nothing. And so what happens? That stone. Remember, that was what Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw Jesus and the work Jesus did. He said, prepare the way, and Jesus did. He said, build up the highway, and he did. He said, take out the stones. Jesus has removed all the impediments, but it's left to you and I to enforce that. So when we speak the Word of God, there is nothing. Satan has set guards against the people that you've been praying for, and you've been frustrated. Today, the frustration ends. Because you know that you give them the Word of God, you prepare by speaking in the authority of Jesus' name, you take all of those stones, all of those impediments, all of that deceit, all of that deception out of the way, you speak the Word, and then what happens? that stone, just like it was in the tomb of Jesus, that stone is taken out of the way. And those people you're praying for, they get to see what was inside the tomb, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in their lives. We celebrate Jesus and we celebrate his resurrection. We need to praise him. He is worthy of our praise, our personal praise, because it's personal what he did for us. Thank you, Jesus, but we don't stop there. Part of the resurrection is our understanding that we need to take the good news because the hour is late. And there's a lot of people that we've been praying for or hoping for. Now's the time to be active in the assurance of his word, and the power and the authority that we have. Amen? See, when we pray for people, and I'll talk about this at some point, but when we pray for people, sometimes you feel like, well, what's the point of my praying for someone? Because I can't make them change their mind. No, you can't. But your prayer puts them in the position in front of Jesus. Your prayer positions them right there in front of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit will then take over. Your prayer for them is powerful, and it's important. It's imperative. Pray for them. But we also just saw that part of our occupying until he comes, what is it? It is making those trades. It's making that exchange. So here's what I want to suggest this morning. Let's make an exchange. Exchange for the people that you're thinking. Who are you thinking about? Who's in your heart that you're passionate for that you know they don't know Jesus Christ? Here's what I want you to do. In front of you, we always have those connection cards. If you've got someone that you're praying for, and you want to see that change, you want to see them come to know Jesus, on that connection card, just write down your name so I know who you are. I say so, I know. Ultimately, Donna needs to know this. Because things are going to happen, and if things happen, Donna has to have her hand in it. So what I want you to do is just write down your name so I know who you are. And then just write down just my sister Emily or my coworker Eddie, whoever you're praying for. I don't need details. I just need to know the name. And the relationship would help also. But if it's just the name, that's fine too. Write those down. Look, you don't have to do this. I'm just saying, if what I've said has spoken to you, and there's people that you're praying for, and you want to see them, one, to Jesus Christ, let's make an exchange. Because what I'm going to do is, you're going to drop those off in the baskets before you leave. Donna's going to take them, and everyone who's put a card in there, I will. Donna will make sure that if you've given a card to someone, you're going to get a card back. So someone's going to be praying. Someone here will be praying specifically in everything we just talked about with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. They will be praying to remove all of those impediments, to remove all of those hindrances and all those stones. They're going to be praying that those hearts are ready. That heart that you ask for, it's going to be ready to receive. They're going to be praying with you for that person. And when you give it, you're going to have somebody praying for the person that you are thinking of, but it also puts you in the position, which is always so vital. When you have a need in your life, find someone else that has that need and make that a priority so you get a chance to take someone else. Don's going to exchange those cards so you'll have someone's name in your hands that you can pray for their salvation as well. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We just rejoice in your love. Can't even comprehend. In this life, we can't even comprehend the depths of your love for us. There's going to be a day that we are in your presence and we fully understand that love, and that love is going to be returned. We return your love right now and say, thank you, Jesus. And we thank you for that day that we stand before you. We just rejoice in you in everything. But we want to make sure that the people that we know and love that don't know you, we understand that the hour is late. We understand that we are your ambassadors, your missionaries to Bethany. And so we want those people that are on our hearts, you put on our hearts, we want them to be rejoicing with us in your presence for all eternity. So we thank you and praise you. You love them even more than we do. You've already paved the way and opened the way for them. Now we do our part, and we give you the praise and the glory. Holy Spirit, even as we're thinking about those people now, before we even write down their names, as we're thinking about them, Holy Spirit, we thank you for preparing their hearts to receive. It is unripe fruit, not yet ready for the harvest, but we commit to prepare them for the harvest, to make them ripe for salvation. We thank you and praise you. In your name, Jesus, we worship you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship this morning.